What's everybody? How you doing? Already messed up. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Damage Report. Before I said what's everybody, I was so confident about how the show was gonna go. John Iadarola is out. I'm doing my part for the cause by filling in for him while he recharges, while he heals from being under the weather, which itself is the dumbest saying, because unless we're in a helicopter, we're all under the weather. But don't worry, we have, despite my poor performance so far, an amazing show planned for you and an amazing co-host. You know her as the host of Reactions on TYT's Twitch channel. Ray Vanna in the house. How's it going, Ray?
Good. I'm super excited to be here. And I'm waiting for the moment where I trip up and make my first mistake as well. But you're off to a very wonderful start on Friday.
So good. This has been the longest week ever. Beginning of the week, we had a dog around here. We were dog sitting. That was an extra responsibility. We launched Nina Turner's new show, Power Hour. And just so people know the behind the scenes of it all, that show was not ready to be launched until about 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. The cutoff for Elements being in was 2:40, was essentially 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, but we did it a little late, but it all worked out. So thanks to all the members who watched that. That will be every Thursday at let me put this in Central time, because Rayvon is here, at 7 p.m. Central. And you do the math, because the onus is on you to calculate what time it is for you, but it's members only. You can go to tyt.com/join to find out how you can join on the website. You can also watch if you're a member on YouTube. You can click the join button below. And then if you're on Twitch, just big shout out to the Elder Mind Pulses, the Obi Mom Kenobis, and all the folks who gifted a ton of subs right before that started to kind of get the word out. It is September, 20% off all new subs and gifted subs. So that's awesome. You got about 6 days or so left. Don't make me do a poem to find out how many days are in September. Oh, it's the first one, 30 days. So you got 6 days left to do September. Take advantage of that. We have an amazing show planned for you. We've got the Arizona audit and Trump. After news had come out that was not so good for him, he was still pumping it up about how awesome the results were, not knowing what the results were and that everybody else still knew it. I'm gonna give you my analysis of the Iron Dome fiasco that played out and continues to play out in the halls of Congress. Just a lot of people who are bad at politics. I'll tell you why, regardless of whether you agree with Iron Domes, defense spending, apartheid states, or anti-Semitism as it's being presented everywhere else. We're gonna learn a little something about just fundamentals of politics and timing. Hopefully, basically, I'll just tell you what I've learned, and everyone can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Some big wins for people who are delivery drivers in New York. Hopefully, that will permeate and the borders of that city and make their way to the rest of the country. So people who are delivering you food to eat, and you, if you're one of them, you can have a place to pee during your shift. Instead of in the food, as I would if I was mad that I wasn't allowed to pee on my job. Okay, so then also we've got some crazy preachers. We've got Charlie Kirk doing stuff. We're gonna have a real-time reaction to it. So we've got a lot planned for you, not just here, but also the rest of the day on TYT. Coming up, we've got, after this, Dr. Richie is going to do Indisputable. Wozni Lombre is his guest, and you will be able to watch a full-length debate he did with Charlie Kirk. That is up, and I have not watched it yet. You can watch the hour-long version. It's kind of a cut-down, and then you can also download the full-length hour-and-a-half podcast. That thing was, I think, supposed to be 45 minutes, and they went an hour and a half. So fantastically done. I hear there's some amazing moments in that. Galaxy Brain is on after that. You can, oh no, there's no Galaxy Brain today. We're shaking it off. No Galaxy. Oh, I don't know. It's Friday. There's a lot going on. So Galaxy Brain is on after that. You can watch it. That 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time slot is 1:30 p.m. Pacific time slot is pretty Awesome. Thursdays, you got reactions. You got Fridays for Galaxy Brain. Then we've got the Young Turks today has for first hour, Francesca Fiorentini is going to be presenting. You've got Cenk Uygur and Trey Crowder. The liberal redneck's going to be joining us. He's fantastically smart, super duper funny. And then second hour, we've got J.R. Jackson, Cenk Uygur, and Mark Thompson in the studio. So it's going to be great. And then after that, you can join us for Game Busters, because busting makes me feel good. Jordan is in Alabama, so it'll just be me and Brooke. We're going to play some Jackbox games. If you want to cruise by there, have a good time, do some trivia, and play some games, draw some pictures, and most of them can be inappropriate. There are no rules on Twitch. All right, with that said, Ray, are you ready to get into this amazing audit news coming out of the great state of Arizona?
I am so ready to stop this deal. Absolutely.
All right, let's get into it. This is an amazing story that has so many stupid elements to it. And I am happy to spend the next few minutes getting into what exactly we all feel is the dumbest part of this amazingly, delightfully stupid story that involves cyber ninjas and audits that backfired. So just, you know, lock yourself in. We've got backfiring audits, Trump sending a stupid email that he didn't realize was stupid at the time that he sent it. And then the inspiration from this to have a new audit launched will tell you where it is, what it's all about, and again, we'll find out which part of it is so stupid. So we start with the audit in Arizona that the cyber ninjas did. This is a wildly partisan audit. We'll get into the details of that. But the result of that Maricopa County audit, as is reported by the Arizona Republic, hand count and audit affirms Biden beat Trump, as Maricopa County said in November. So that big audit everyone was looking for, totally backfired. Even though everyone was like, don't pay attention to this audit, it's going to be totally, it's funded by a bunch of right wingers. Even that right winger funded audit proved that Biden won in Arizona. And not only that, here are more details on it. The 3-volume report by Cyber Ninjas, the Senate's lead contractor, includes results that show Trump lost by a wider margin than the county's official election results. The data in the report also confirms that US Senator Mark Kelly won in the county. And then just a little bit of background on this investigation and the audit. The Cyber Ninjas, which amazing, and their subcontractors were paid millions of taxpayer dollars to research and write the report by by nonprofits set up by prominent figures in the Stop the Steal movement and allies of Donald Trump. But Cyber Ninjas CEO Doug Logan said that that would not influence their work. The hand count shows that Trump receives 45,469 nice fewer votes than Biden. The county results showed he lost by 45,109. So very close, but it turns out he lost by a wider margin than that. So we'll get into Trump's reaction and delayed reaction and stupid reaction in a second. But Ray, what's your reaction to this?
Well, I mean, I know now that everyone who has been saying, oh, just wait till the audit's done. You'll see Trump actually won Arizona. Just hold on, is gonna be very good faith now and accept the results of the audit that they've been hyping up and concede that Biden actually did win in a universe that doesn't exist anywhere, because of course they're not gonna do that. I'm sure they'll just double down. Now the audit was fraudulent. Now the audit was fake. You can't trust that. That's fake news. It's funny because it's just, these people will never. There's nothing that could make them live in our reality.
Right. That's it.
Well,
yeah, because it's the ultimate like decision point for someone watching this, or like a cynicism test. Is there's definitely people who are living in an alternate reality, but the folks who are leading this movement are like, no, my reality is the same as yours. I just need to convince a bunch of people of something else. And that's exactly what it is. And there's things that you've already seen that prove that. Like this audit, the thing that everyone's like, just wait till the audit, is after 60 some other lawsuits failed. those things that they said, we've got the receipts, we've got everything. The telethon by Mike Lindell that he was gonna unveil like a bunch of data from this Scantron tests or whatever the company was, the Dominion voting machines, all of that. They've been hyping and hyping and hyping, and it's been failure after failure after failure. And this one, where let's think about it. It's not funded by an independent group. It's not constitutionally part of their process. It's Trump's roll boys hired more Trump roll boys under a name called Cyber Ninjas, which seems like a joke. And maybe they were like, I think someone else said this, cyber ninjas, they're Asian, they're good at math. Like that's the kind of racist thinking that I don't doubt was at the heart of it. Like maybe they're good. And still all the things, they're the best laid plans of mice brained men failed in this situation. And it's fantastic. But it gets, go ahead.
I just want to meet the one guy who found the results of the audit and was like, well, you know, I've been fiercely advocating that Trump is the true president and just wait, he's gonna take office. This is gonna prove it. Who's like, well, all right, I was wrong. Biden's the president. You know, yeah. Cyber ninjas proved it to me. They must be smart. So I've been hyping them up for months, you know.
Yeah, and that's thematically linked to like the person who was waiting for FDA approval and not emergency approval on the vaccine. Like maybe they exist out there, but like that's me giving way too much of a benefit of a doubt to people when they're saying that I should take them at their word. That's absolutely positively ridiculous. All right, so it gets worse. So Trump. In the background of this, as the lead up, everyone knew that today was gonna be the day that they dropped this audit result. Now, news of what the result would be dropped the previous night through a leaked source and kind of gave away the game. Trump, among all of this, was looking at other stuff in the news because he knows, regardless of what the result is, that he has to kind of have that next grift fake goalpost laid out that he's moving it to. So the Democrats had kind of released all these subpoenas where they're subpoenaing people like Mark Meadows and other people on the right to find out what they were knowing in the what they knew at the time and how they behaved when the January 6th insurrection was going on. So Trump wanted to plan an email right before the audit result came out to kind of potentially move the goalpost to the next thing. But even he thought this result would turn out in his favor. So here is, as Mediaite reports, news broke at 10:30 p.m. of a draft report from Cyber Ninjas that confirms that the Maricopa County's canvas of the 2020 general election was accurate and that Biden did in fact win. A half hour later at roughly 11 p.m., however, Trump released a statement through his Save America PAC. He says, everybody will be watching tomorrow to see what the highly respected auditors in Arizona State Senate found out regarding the so-called election. First of all, that's not what so-called means. You just say, you put so-called because the entire right wing has turned into one giant air quote. So-called election with the so-called votes, the so-called. So stupid. So he was like, this is coming out. It's gonna be awesome. It had already been revealed that his homies said that he lost. Amazing, right? What do you think?
Dude's posting their L's online, honestly. Like, come on. You at that point knew. Or someone must have told him. I mean, although I understand like the people around him are probably very hesitant to bring him bad news. I can't imagine being the person whose job it is to be like, hi, President Trump, you lost real bad to sleepy Joe Biden. Like you took a fat L in Maricopa County. Like no one wants to have to do that, but I'm sure he saw it, but still is out here like denying reality while also praising these the entities that are literally saying that, you know, no, he took a fat L, he lost, he was a big loser.
It's so bad. Not even the cyber ninjas could save him. I don't know, there's movies where people are in the desert and they try to scramble up sand dunes that like give way as you try to run up them, like, or like a landslide you're trying to crawl up in the meantime. Like, that's what it feels like. Every time I try to like combat any of this stupidity by pointing out the stupidity, I don't know if it works, but I know I gotta do it. Like, I gotta say, like, your own people that you hired, you paid the refs off, and still they're like, I can't even call this a foul. Like, I can't do it. And the people in the Cyber Ninjas in the leaked draft basically said that, or a draft report said that they were not focusing so much on the results, but on the process that yielded these results. Because that's the actual goal here. In an America where more people vote, and if given the chance would vote, even more of them would vote against these fools, they need to find a way to keep those people from voting. So that's why Cyber Ninjas is, if you see any reports from the right wing focusing on like, well, we got to change the voter ID process and the internal laws and rules of voting, that's why that's happening. That's why these weird audits are taking place. Which brings us to the weirdest audit of all. There has now been an announcement that Texas is gonna do an audit. So Trump, crazily searching around for like, I need another audit, one that I can win, complained about it, and Greg Abbott announced that they will be doing an audit of the election results in Texas. Now you're wondering, didn't Trump win the hell out of Texas? Yes, he did. He already won it. So this is the announcement from the Texas Secretary of State's office announcing a full forensic audit of the 2020 general election in four Texas counties. In Austin, under existing Texas laws, the Secretary of State has the authority to conduct a full and comprehensive forensic audit of any election and has already begun the process of Texas' two largest Democrat counties and two largest Republican counties, Dallas, Harris, Tarrant, and Collin. For the 2020 election, we anticipate the legislature will provide funds for this purpose. So as opposed to the Arizona audit, which was funded by a bunch of randos, this one is going to be taxpayer money. So as much as Republicans say that the government is a huge waste of taxpayer funds, they are going to check the score to see if they won an election that everyone knows that they won. This is amazing. So Ray, what do you think about this?
I think that I'm gonna wait until the cyber samurais come out with their audit before I, you know, take a stance on it. You know, they're very well trusted auditors. It's just actually makes me think of this story about Trump that I heard, where he would like golf on his golf course, and he like there was like a child golfing there with his dad, and Trump ended up golfing with the child, and like the child beat him, but Trump had people like at the end cheating and walked away and was like very glad that he beat this child, and the kid is like, wait, what? And he's like, thank you for playing with me, son. You know, maybe you'll get a little better someday and you can actually beat me. And the kid's like, but I won. He just needs to stroke his ego constantly in any scenario. Like, whether he's playing golf with a literal child or whether it's doing an audit of a state that he already knew that he won. Just they have to appease him somehow.
It's like on local sports stations, when your team doesn't have a game that day, and on the West Coast, we have this thing, Sportsnet LA, which is like a giant LA Dodger like only network, right? There's no other sports on there. And when the Dodgers aren't playing that day, they replay games, but they don't, if the Dodgers lost yesterday, they don't replay that. They replay a game from the day before so the Dodger fans can just watch their team win. Even if that game isn't happening and it's already decided, that is exactly what this is. It's turning on ESPN Classic or Fox Sports DC or Fox Sports Mar-a-Lago to just watch a replay of your own win because you're that pathetic and depressed that you need it. You need that right now. As he was, as you're saying, golf, he was on the golf course the other, like yesterday. And he had people around him filming him playing golf and hitting a drive. We don't see where that drive went or how well he hit it. But he's like, do you think Joe Biden can hit a drive that far? It's like, let's go back to the exact experiment of a single ramp, like you going down a ramp slowly and Joe Biden running down a ramp. And already I hate myself because this is a stupid comparison to go into at this point. But like, we already have that experiment of like, also your, I hate to break it to you, but if we're getting into athleticism, like your body versus his body, guy can wear the hell out of a polo and you need like, you know, you're Donald Trump. I just hate it. Again, this is the, oh, thanks. Now I hate myself comparison Olympics.
Trump was unironically doing a Joe Biden. Now watch this drive.
Yeah, absolutely. The best moment in politics. So good. And so just the genesis of this in this audit, the announcement came just hours after former President Trump, who carried Texas, demanded Abbott back a bill to launch the election audit in the Lone Star State. Quote, despite my big win in Texas, I hear Texans want an election audit. You know your fellow Texans have big questions about the November 2020 election. Let's get to the bottom of the 2020 presidential election scam. This paragraph like requires its own like linguistics expert and like cognitive psychologist to get to the bottom. Like none of those concepts track, right? They don't lead into one another. To get to the bottom of the scam, you already won it. If you're talking about a scam in something that you won, you're going to essentially be asking people why, you're basically admitting that you lost if there's a scam in something you won. But I'll tell you what the full scam is. The full scam is, like I said before, they're gonna go into these, so they own the legislature in so many more states than states where they won the popular vote in those states. So the way that the Republicans have worked since the Republican and basically this strain of political thinking has worked since the founding of America. And you'll hear people who are patriots, I've talked to them, who are patriots who say, democracy is a bad idea because poor people have a say and they don't know better and I know better. And black people, other races would have a say besides me and they don't know better and I know better. It's a feudal system that they want to create in America. And so what they do is they find ways to work against the concept that one person should have one vote. And those, then once you look around, it's like Neo, you're just like, I see everything. You see that, you know, there's states, a bunch of them, especially in 2018, I think it was, there's like six states where more Democrats, there were more votes for Democratic representatives, but the Republicans got control of the state house in those elections. What does that mean? That means that after the census comes out, the Republicans can draw the lines, further solidifying their hold on everything. That is the politics. That's how it works. That's why they're doing stuff like this, so that they can have some BS justification to say, you know what? Here's another thing we found in the Texas audit, which cost millions and millions of dollars. Just like some BS turn of electoral politics they did in California, where they wasted hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars to do things with the express idea and intent of overturning the concept that because you're a citizen in America, you should have one vote. They don't want that because they know they'd lose. Everything is about that. And this is this ridiculousness when you see it, you're like, I gotta. You know, you gotta know that that's what it's about. All right, we gotta take a break. We're gonna get into electoral politics, or we're gonna get into like the basics of politics in a second. But we break for comments here, so let's respond to the Dragon Squad. All right, welcome back. For those of you who are like, where did you go? Well, we break for comments. We read comments for 4 minutes, and if you saw ads, just subscribe, and you won't see ads. All right, and that happens on all shows here at TYT. All right, this next story, I don't even know what to do about it. I haven't really planned how I'm gonna say it. I just have a lot of feelings, so let's get into it. In Washington, D.C., there has been a lot of development surrounding this funding for $1 billion of Iron Dome defense. If you were paying attention like a day ago, maybe 2 days ago, you had heard that the progressives stood strong and convinced people to keep it out of the continuing resolution, basically the way for our government to stay open. They stuck together on Iron Dome defense. It was like the sticking point as it was presented in the media. As if you were watching the news, you heard that the progressives want Israelis to be bombed by Palestinians. Okay, again, this is me talking about how crazy stupid this entire story is. And so that was gone because the squad stick together. Now you look at the news today and you see things like this. The squad earlier this week leveraged the urgency of raising the debt limit to withdraw $1 billion in funding for the missile defense system for the Democrats' earlier spending bill. But today that all changed. The measure cleared the House in a bipartisan vote of 420-9. 8 Democrats and 1 Republican voted against the funding for the missile defense system. 2 other Democrats, Hank Johnson of Georgia and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, voted present. Adding the voted present to this already stupid messaging fiasco on all sides and cynical crappiness of mainstream media is just that little cherry of I can vote present because people in DC convince themselves it means something different is also stupid. To add on to the stupid, Mark Rod reports via Twitter, Ocasio-Cortez, who changed her vote from no to present on Iron Dome at the last minute, this is like a separate situation, appears visibly upset, appears to be crying on the House floor in a hug with Representative Jayapal. Here is the video that accompanied that. Take a look, see if you think she's crying.
Designated by Mr. Lawson of Florida, pursuant to House Resolution 8, I inform the House that Mr. Lawson will vote nay on House Resolution 483 amendments. He votes nay.
As you could see, people below her on the stairs were slipping and sliding on all the tears that everyone totally saw. That's why everyone who was reporting was able to very confidently say that she appeared very distraught. Just as you could hear it over the loudspeaker, you could hear it, obviously. To add stupid onto that stupid, here's Meghan McCain's tweet about it. Theater and bad theater at that. This is Meghan McCain chiming in on the narrative that emerged from it that after a present vote, some people were saying that it appeared AOC was crying. Something that I would contend didn't look like she was sobbing. She looked upset. Obviously, she would be. But this is Meghan McCain. Like once removed, like this is the derivative of the graph. Like she is commenting on as though AOC is like, look at me, I cried. And she's saying that AOC is a bad actress when that isn't even what really happened. More, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, a Democrat from Michigan who opposed the bill, called the Israeli government an apartheid regime. And said the $1 billion represents, quote, an absurd and unjustifiable increase in the US funding of the Iron Dome. Just a reminder, the US has already provided $1.6 billion to Israel for Iron Dome batteries, interceptors, co-production costs, and maintenance, according to a 2020 report from the Congressional Research Service. Most of the funding for defense typically happens in a defense spending bill. So the fact that this is all in a continuing resolution is just inside politics. No one knows. I want to get into that later. And just to add dumb to dumb, here is what Rashida Tlaib said, followed immediately by what a fellow Democrat said about it.
We cannot be talking only about Israelis' need for safety at a time when Palestinians are living under a violent apartheid system and are dying from what Human Rights Watch has said are war crimes. We should also be talking about Palestinian need for security from Israeli attacks. We must be consistent in our commitment to human life, period. Everyone deserves to be safe there.
Mr. Speaker, we can have an opportunity to debate lots of issues on the House floor, but to falsely characterize the state of Israel is consistent with those, let's be clear, it's consistent with those who advocate for the dismantling of the one Jewish state in the world. And when there is no place on the map for one Jewish state, that's anti-Semitism.
At what point in Rashida Tlaib's statement did she say that we need to wipe Israel off the map? Nowhere. Your setup was completely different from your conclusion. So there's a lot of dumb happening. I do want to get into like fundamentals of politics and messaging and discipline in a second. But Ray, you seem to have a reaction to this.
One, I'm not going to make the obvious joke about that man's name. I'm not going to make it. Just imagine that I did. But quickly.
As a Jew, I'm a Jewish person. Deutsch, it means German.
That was the joke. Yeah. It was One, I want to say Meghan McCain, shut the hell up forever. Never speak. Keep your mouth shut. Delete your Twitter account. Wholeheartedly, no one cares what you think about anything. The claim that what Rashida Tlaib said was anti-Semitic is just so inappropriate to make. I mean, she didn't say, all she said was that we need to provide relief and assistance for Palestinian people who are suffering immensely. It's gross to say that caring for Palestinian individuals is inherently anti-Semitic, like offensive. And, you know, she as a Muslim woman is usually, her and Ilhan Omar are the targets of those claims. They don't make those same claims about other white Congress people who use the same rhetoric and say that we need to defend Palestinians, or that we need to stop supporting Israel as they actively harm and occupy Palestinian land. I would go on as far as to say it's Islamophobic, or at the very least sexist towards those women. But I mean, just the disparity in the way that they are treated versus white male members of Congress who do not get that backlash is disgusting to me.
Right. It is important that I say it this way. There is a time and a place to talk about this issue of the apartheid state, as you want to call it, as some people don't want to call it, whatever, the Israel-Palestine conflict. If you are trying to pass a bill that gives universal pre-K, paid family leave, accomplishes the Joe Biden agenda, okay, what are we doing? Why are you doing that now? Okay, that is the stupid, okay? And I would also add, I don't even have full faith that when they were voting no on this line item of the budget, they were voting no on something that said Iron Dome, because message wise, simplicity wise, people like it simple. Deutsch knows it. Deutsch in politics, everybody is looking for, every time you see an interview with a politician, they get asked a question, they change to something else. They're changing to the easy, simple, gimme putt that they're looking for, that they know they can say very simply and easily, and that no one who's important in the voting block will call them out for and as a water roiler. And this is one of them. That guy was like, I'm just gonna say, if you don't like Iron Dome, you don't like Israel. And the squad is trying to make this like nuanced argument potentially about like defense spending and apartheid states. And there is a time for that. And there is a way to do that strategically and effectively. Right now, it is malpractice for any progressive in politics to be saying anything other than what Pramila Jayapal's out there doing. She's going out and saying, hey, and she needs to do it better. She needs to say, the Biden agenda is everything in the bipartisan bill and the reconciliation bill that we're trying to push. So we want it all. You know why? because we are supporting the president. Now, is that what they believe? Is that going to make progressives super duper happy to say that we're supporting the Biden agenda? Obviously not. But we're smarter than that, I think. Like the same way that we think we can handle this like Iron Dome discussion and funding, we're also smart enough to know that this is the tack that you need to take in order to like say something simple enough that people like the Jake Tappers of America can be like, oh, that's right. That is a good talking point. The fact that there's this whole moment in time, like 2 days where we're talking about like Iron Dome funding, that's the one thing that they're gonna do. It's so stupid that they're doing it, but they're gonna say, all right, Iron Dome, you want babies in Israel to be bombed if you don't support $1 billion in Iron Dome funding. No one's gonna bring up that there's $1.6 billion we've already spent on Iron Dome and this is less than that. It's just such a weird, weird moment. And then to add it, AOC voting present, never vote present, vote yes or no. No one's gonna like you for voting present. It doesn't mean anything. And that is symptomatic of how dumb it is to do that. All right, we've spent way too much time on it. We gotta take our second break before we move on, but yell at me at the comments if you want to. I hope you understand that what I'm saying is simply a tactical bit of advice. Democrats need to only talk about the kinds of things that remind them that voters are with them. Talking about defense, Democrats always lose. Even if you're right, Democrats always lose. Talking about social programs, economic programs, everybody loves that. More voters love that. So you need to be disciplined and talk about that. Anyways, I need to be disciplined and take a break. So we're gonna do that, talk about your comments right now. All right, let's just move on. A win for people who are your delivery drivers and feed you. All right, so big win for delivery drivers in New York City. And it's actually kind of sad that it's a big win because all it is essentially is a pee break. So the New York City's council members on Thursday voted to pass a series of landmark bills aimed at improving pay and working conditions for food delivery workers operating within the city. Here's what it is. The first of its kind legislation, which targets app-based delivery companies such as Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, will set a minimum pay, allow workers to keep more of their tips, and limit how far workers can be asked to travel for deliveries. It'll also guarantee workers access to bathrooms. So you actually will get a pee break. So that's it. This is the legislation was written in collaboration with LDU, which is Los Deliveristas Unidos, a collective of mostly immigrant app delivery workers. So there's that. In terms of the reception, how people are reacting to it, worker advocates say the New York bills, according to The Guardian, are a good start, but do not address some broader concerns about the gig economy in the US and that more comprehensive legislation on a national scale is needed. So the big takeaway is that a government has voted on legislation to protect workers and start giving out rights to them that aren't guaranteed by the company. So that is a dynamic shift. There's a huge shift seismically in what's been happening. There have been some other votes. Maybe we'll talk about it in a second. But Rayvana, what do you think about this?
I mean, it's a good start, although it is so disheartening to read that they're being guaranteed access to bathrooms. Like, holy hell, that's just basic human like rights, basic decency. The fact that this wasn't already guaranteed to them just is so horrific, and they have to fight for basic workers' rights. And just it's a small victory, but hopefully it's indicative of more victories down the road. But God, is that terrible. These workers are so deeply mistreated.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, exactly. This is one of those, what year is it stories? Like, pretty soon, delivery drivers will no longer have to work in coal mines without a mask, like without access to daylight and oxygen. Like, that's the kind of thing. Like, you gotta pee. As Lenny Bruce once said, eat, sleep, and crap. Like, you gotta be able to do those things. And so, this again, just it's gotten a spotlight now. It should always have had a spotlight since these companies started to maybe signal at becoming ubiquitous. Also, there's a huge boom in this with COVID. Uber Eats, the food delivery segment of the ride hailing company Uber, grew by 190% in 2020, adding 36,000 couriers in New York City alone. And I just wanted to get, we just wanted to get into some of the specifics of what the conditions are like for people who have these jobs. So in New York City, according to the Brooklyn paper, 5 food delivery workers have died on the job in Brooklyn over the past year. At least 4 were killed in collisions on the road. Deliveristas are now classified as independent contractors. Even though 64% of those surveyed said they would they work at least 6 days per week, with 33% working 7 days per week. Excluding tips, the median hourly wage for delivery workers in New York City was $7.94 in 2020, according to the project. The hourly net pay when including tips was still below New York's now, like since 2020, $15 an hour minimum wage at an average of $12.21. They also have to cover a bunch of expenses. I won't read them all, but like they have to buy their own bikes, they have to maintain their own bikes. There's no equipment allowance or anything like that. And these companies have spent millions of dollars seeking other ways to protect themselves. So they don't want to pay their workers. They don't want to treat them with the same kind of protections that they were able to take advantage of that were afforded to taxi drivers, like through years and years of working for protections and whatnot. There was corruption in that, but still, like, these folks are working for you all day, driving, doing something that is very dangerous and feeding the nation. And those companies, like in California, there was a giant initiative they voted in a referendum to just basically make it so that you couldn't treat those part-time workers as though they were human beings. And luckily that was kind of stopped by the courts. But Renee, yeah. Any thoughts?
Yeah, especially with like Prop 22, it really shows how little organized, not necessarily organized, but lobbying power the drivers who are being mistreated have versus how much power these large, billion-dollar corporations have to spread disinformation, especially when it came to voting on Prop 22. They were able to say, hey, your prices of your food are gonna go up if we have to do this. The drivers actually don't want to be protected under these laws. They would prefer to be private contractors. And all of this nonsense, things that are not true. But when you have that much money to spend on billboards, when every time you want to confirm an Uber ride, you have to say, I will vote yes on Prop 22, when they're able to put ads on TV, however they're doing it, when any YouTube video you're watching has a Prop 22 ad in front of it, it just really, really shows that there is a massive disparity in the power between the workers and the corporations, particularly when it comes to protecting the workers.
All right, we gotta move on to this next story. It's a doozy, so let's hear from Jen Psaki to kind of set the tone.
We feel those images are horrible and horrific. There is an investigation the president certainly supports, overseen by the Department of Homeland Security, which he has conveyed will happen quickly. I can also convey to you that the secretary also conveyed to civil rights leaders earlier this morning that we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. So that is something, a policy change that has been made in response.
That is the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying that we solved the problem with a Haitian refugee crisis, horses. Mr. Ed was a corrupt teamster connected loosely to Hoffa in the transportation sector. So he's gone and now the whole story is over. Ray, you were reacting as that was going on. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, oh my God, the Biden administration is putting so many horses out of jobs. How horrific. Well, nobody is thinking about the horse unemployment rate right now. But it's like, It's like we've been screaming at a brick wall. Like we've been saying, hey, this is disgusting. The ICE and people at the border are treating Haitian asylum seekers like animals, like subhuman individuals. They are whipping them and denying them access to, you know, shelter, like relegating them to live under bridges, using the reins to like literally attack them. And the Biden administration was like, okay, yeah, we hear you. The horse has got to go. Like if no one asked, no one said that was like that. That's not our argument. Who were they talking to? Who was like, well, the real issue here is the horses.
It's amazing. Like we at TYT, not to brag, have a Getty Images account. And so we use it to go get photos that are used on, you know, all these stories. You have photos like the ones you've seen of them on horseback at the border. You have Haitians making the harrowing journey. Other ones that you've probably seen on other telecasts of like frickin', they have whips and that's the one that inspired this. But another photo is of Marine-like border patrol agents on a fan boat with guns. So they don't have the horses anymore, but don't worry, they've got like fan boat tanks that they're floating down the Del Rio Grande, pointing at people. Like, talk about missing the mark. It is weird. And you know, maybe I'm being a little unfair, but what was amazing about this is the speed with which they essentially escalated all of this. We don't have a lot of time, so I do want to play in its entirety the reaction from Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary. So let's hear his reaction to it.
You've seen this video, you are investigating, but is there any reason why border agents would be charging at migrants in such a way that you are seeing children ducking out of the way?
Good morning, thank you very much for having me. Any mistreatment or abuse of a migrant is unacceptable, is against Border Patrol policy, training, and our department's values. Indeed, we have directed an investigation. That investigation is underway and it will be conducted swiftly, and the public needs and deserves to know its results. I also have directed that the Office of Professional Responsibility be on site in Del Rio full time. We will not tolerate any mistreatment of an individual.
So abuse and mistreatment not tolerated, is that abuse or mistreatment where you see children ducking out of the way, horses charging migrants, reins being used?
We are very troubled by what we have seen. We are going to let the investigation unfold very, very quickly, determine the facts, and then we will take the action that is appropriate based on those facts. The facts will drive the conduct that we employ to hold anyone accountable for a violation of our policies.
At a certain point, you're like, what is he supposed to say? But like the horse has left the stable. Like it is already so far beyond, like they're probably gonna chalk it up to like this dude had lost his mind and he got, yes, you're right. We should not have rogue horsemen of the apocalypse riding and roping human beings anymore. But I don't know, we don't have a lot of time, but Ravana, last word.
Yeah, just the whole time I was watching that video, I was just mouthing, shut the hell up, because that is your policy. I'm sorry, I worked in immigration law. Like I know damn well that these people are not held accountable for the mistreatment of immigrants. I know these cases quite well. No one is held accountable. It is very much, I mean, if not codified policy, it's accepted behaviors amongst not just Border Patrol, but ICE and more broadly Homeland Security.
Yep. We have a lot more, including Charlie Kirk's take, garbage people. That's the end of our linear broadcast. It continues on Twitch and YouTube.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.